Hello, we're on the air. This is Bridging Wisdom with Kathy Cook and Michael Goger. We are tonight going to talk about spiritual connection out there. Right, Michael?
Yes, we were. And its relation to friendship and romance.
Right.
I believe, wasn't it? Or
yeah, just... we haven't prepared. Active listening audience, Michael and I do not prepare for our shows, but we thought right before the show what we would touch on, and that is how he and I met, was spiritually out there. So we thought we would just evolve that into the program tonight and then do open the line later for some readings.
This is
my fiance. I wanted to tell everybody you are my fiance. If you hear some babies and honeys, that's because we are going to get married.
And I'm madly in love with her. She's madly in love with me. And the whole world's invited to the wedding. We'll keep you posted.
Tell them what we plan to do with the TV
We're hoping it's probably going to get down to the point where we live between two homes. And when we're in New York, we'll go down to the island and do some TV and some radios and appearances down there. And then we can work out of Charlotte, North Carolina also.
Yeah, and have the press there for the wedding.
Yeah. So, Cassie, before we go any further, why don't you make that announcement about that dog?
Yeah, no, God love it. This dog appeared at my house, at my neighbor's house Thursday afternoon.
Okay.
And her husband, my neighbor, Jeff, he put the dog was in the fence when he came home. He forgot his laptop. And he called his wife, Lorraine, and he put it in the garage, and she put it in the backyard. Well, when I came home, she was just devastated. I came home with Ashley and the baby. And anyway, I call her Sadie. That's her new name. And she's a yellow lab, and she's at my house. She is just, she's somebody's dog because she knows all her commands. And she also does not pee or anything in the house. She licked my hand this morning to go to the bathroom to go out. That's how I know she's somebody's dog. But my little 14-year-old dog is marking the spots everywhere that the yellow lab has sat, and that's becoming an issue. So she's my baby. Puppy Whuppie's Girly Whirly's my baby. So we got to find Sadie's home. And I have dreamed maybe three times that she belongs at this brown house that kind of juts out from the road. And I just keep seeing that. So my neighbor and I are going to look tomorrow, but the Rescue Lab Association has contacted us since the broadcast this afternoon, and also putting it on my Facebook and everything, and contacted my neighbor. She knows of them, and so they're going to come tomorrow and see if there's a chip in its ear and also check it out at the vet. But in the meantime, I live in Raintree, which is Timber Ridge Association, but it's Raintree in Charlotte, North Carolina. And if anyone that is listening out there, which I know that a lot of my neighbors listen now, it is my phone number is 704-906-3004. Please give us a call. We have your little yellow lab little girl baby here. She's probably a mid-adult, and she is a precious angel, but it's becoming to be a little bit hard with Puppy Whuppie, my 14-year-old, marking her spot. She's never peed. My dog has never used the bathroom in the house but once. And now she's like marking every little spot that dog's laid. So it's kind of sad.
Yeah, and you can tell, we can tell that it's somebody's baby because you can just tell. It knows everything about living with a family, especially we keep seeing a little boy psychically. So,
yeah, it's a little boy's dog.
So if this is your dog, North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina, listen up.
You try so hard to be Southern, but you're just never going to get it, baby.
I know it. It's always going to sound
you got
hillbilly.
That, you got that northern drawl.
I do have hillbilly in me.
What did somebody say on our broadcast the other day about our severe northern. You're severe. What'd they say? I forgot.
Yes, the very severe, thick northern accent.
But
you should hear me.
The severe southern accent that we are good polars there.
Polar opposites, and it works. And unique, and I'll tell you what, it is fresh and unique. I like it. Oprah, if you're listening, we're available, and you can have all 16 of my shows for free, and we'll talk about other things later.
What kind of other things, Michael?
Sponsorship.
That's fine. I was just making sure. Yeah, no, I claim you. You're mine.
But anyway, we are going to discuss being connected. I know we all know what it's like to touch each other, see each other, and kind of empathically touch each other and telepathically, but deep root spiritual soul touching, it's kind of unique. A lot of people may do it and not even know it. A lot of people may have heard about it and would like to know more. So that's what Cassie and I are planning on chit-chatting tonight about. We like to teach. She's a teacher. I don't know what I am. I'm a misfit, I think. what am I, Tassie? Tell them, will you?
You're my fiancé.
I'm fiancé. I am a spiritual channel and messenger. I don't like labels. I guess if you labeled me, it'd be a psychic medium. But, I mean, really, folks, is there labels once we pass? There's no labels. There's no nothing. Just experience.
I like what you say. I like what you say about being in the moment when we pass.
You're in the moment. If you were ever in the moment, it will be when you pass. Believe me, has nothing to do with labels or who's first or who's last. It's all about being in the moment. And this lady here is teaching me how to be more in the moment. Because I was a notorious what-if-er and down the road 100 years, and what a waste of energy, especially for a man of my stature and abilities.
Well, we all have things that we're learning and we're here for. Like, I was here to conquer fear, you know, and now I've realized with you teaching me courage, you know, when things went bad with my health. That courage is fear that said its prayer. I do want to get out there, everybody, that my thyroid cancer, I went to the surgeon on Friday, and there is no nodules there anymore. And my thyroid is back to normal. So he said, what do I operate on? There's nothing to operate on. Now, Michael has been vividly pushing prayer and energy in there. I've had several people stop by, the hairdresser, Johnny's mother, and her friend have laid hands on my thyroid, and just so many people have prayed and just put energy out there. My mom and all my family. Oh yeah, church and Israel. It went all the way to Israel with my aunt, that's a prophetic pastor, and it went all over the world. And this is to actually share with you guys. You know how sometimes I didn't have a voice. Well, I'm back, and I feel great. I'm not tired and exhausted and all that stuff either. But
we're going to stay that way. We haven't even started, folks. We haven't even started.
Mm-mm.
Keep your eye on Tassie and Michael from Bridge and Wisdom, BBS Radio, and Michael Goger Productions over at Blog Talk.
Yeah. Michael, I found just now. That I wrote back. I found something that I wrote back in 2007. It's about interventions. I know. It looks pretty good. I'm going to check it out. It's called Body, Soul, Mind, and Spirit.
You wrote this?
Yes, I wrote this.
In what year?
12/10/2007.
Oh, good. Okay.
So it says, we generate our own dreams in our past, present, and future. by using analogies through symbolic meaning since the beginning and throughout our history, to fill one's dreams in an attempt to understand the true meaning of one's dream state. The dream is defining to an individual, not universal, but to one's individual self, that one needs to self-examine what these people, places, and things and avenues of this map throughout our dream time state is, as well as the scenery, kind of like a billboard of events to the true to life, in order to understand one. Self is to understand one's dreams. The stage one plays in life and the actual play-by-play that it has, or just that prior to the sleep or the daydream, did take place. Feelings create our dreams. If one is afraid, then fearful dreams will occur in the awakening state of life as well as in the sleep state of life. In our actions causing subconscious reactions, we throw out feelings of fearful energy, hence different mechanisms will flare up. We will be on guard constantly, per se, and thus a vicious cycle starts. And then one gets lost in the way we're looking out by seeing others' opinions and analogies of themselves instead of their own, by ways and means through different antidotes instead of self-soul-searching holistically in fear, which equals courage, that has said its prayers, in centering the self within the center soul. The Creator calms our heart in our garden and realizes that one creates our own realities by manifesting one's truths. If I want to seek an understanding to something, it shall be a lasting feeling through what I ponder and pray and meditate as I fall asleep. I will get the answer of understanding every time, and the more will trickle, more and more will trickle out and center myself as awake I stay in the moment. That's all. That was a journal entry.
I get goose pimples and my heart's racing.
Really?
And I would like to have that in front of me. And it's so intense, I don't think you can absorb it all while you're just listening to it.
In other words, what I gathered from it was that our dream, our wake state, if we're fearful or aggravated or whatever, we dream that as well because we're trying to subconsciously correct something that is wrong. And if we are happy and content and stay in the moment, then we'll have happy and content dreams, because if we don't, we'll have fearful dreams like nightmares, trying to figure out what happened throughout the day. That's basically rounded up what I got from it.
Yes, absolutely. And just imagine if every living soul dwelled on peace and the Holy Spirit at the same exact time.
Wow. That's my dream. That's my dream for the world.
What that would do.
It would turn it inside out, upside down.
Yeah. Consciously, the energy. I believe that's coming. I believe that's what all these calamities around the planet are all about. We're going to push each other into each other's arms,
mm-hmm.
and become one family. And it's not the end of the world. It's the beginning of man.
With
a higher consciousness.
I've always felt that soul is man. I mean, God created us in one image, I feel, and that's his soul. Is man, because we all have God inside of us, of God.
Yeah, there is nothing, we're not inventing anything, we are remembering things.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all created at one time.
Yeah.
So remember me saying that, so when we're all over there, you can all come over and say, damn, you were right. But anyway, that's what my belief is. We were all created at one time, and we're not inventing anything. We're remembering things. We have been so far more advanced than we are now. We just have forgotten.
Just look at the way things were so simplified back in, even when we were kids. You know, it was radio. They listened, not, you know, our parents rather, but they listened to radio and they saw their own vision streams. Now we have it played out in front of us on a TV and, you know, it's, I'll tell you, it's different.
Well, at one time we walked the earth as almost spirit, in spirit form. And we overcast and manipulated and created a genesis.
Everybody wanted to be the greatest and the best. Yeah. They wanted to, you know, and now, back in the day, it was more like, what do you see in the stars? Or what message did you get on your vision quest? Or what did you? What can you come back and show us? In other words, to share instead of, look at me, look at me. That's why it's gotten so commercialized out there today. Don't you believe?
The whole planet, the industry, you got to be very careful now.
Yeah.
There's 10 million theories and predictions, and what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
Just find your spot and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Whether it be God or Allah or yourself or a higher consciousness or whatever you call a higher power, and just and help your brother as much as possible. I'm sorry, Tazzy.
I was going to say my psychology teacher, he told me I was always where I'm supposed to be and right where I put myself. He says, you know, and he was, in other words, saying you're never lost. You're right where you put yourself. Just like anything that you lose is always right where you put it. And he says, everything is as it should be. In other words, stay in that perfect bliss that you have, and everything will unfold the proper way, because like I've always said, whatever I think, so it'll evolve, and what I speak will become. You know, it's just like with you and I, Michael. It was so far-fetched for us to ever be together and ever be in love, and, you know, spiritually we connected even when we were apart for, 6 years, telepathy. We telepathed each other because we didn't know how to reach each other. And even though you're all the way up in New York, the upper state of New York, and I'm at the bottom of North Carolina, it's still going to happen because we want it to happen, even though we try not to let it happen. But the universe and God wanted us together. God wanted us together in the universe, I think together we make a profound team for the active listening audience and anyone that we share our insights with and intuitions. And I'm just blessed. I'm blessed to have you in my life. My family loves you. I love you. And you're just a great person. We're very gifted. I've never had anybody know me like they better than I know myself. You know, like that incident the other day when Ashley wanted to call. And you said, just leave her alone. She's either meditating, she's either holding a stone in a rocking chair, or she's doing ritual. And you were so right, you know. I just wanted to thank you for that.
Yeah. I wouldn't cross that line. When two shaman agree, you never, ever, ever, ever violate them.
No.
It's down to respect and reverence. I told her, I says, this call I can't do, not even for you. She's meditating, rocking in a chair with a stone, or doing a ritual, or napping.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
I just needed to be myself. It was a lot that went on. I walked around the hospital, you guys, active listening audience, with a cracked hip. I had fallen on puppy a couple of weeks prior to the baby being born and cracked my hip. Not only does it have a deteriorated bone, blood supply to the bone, but the socket is out. So, I mean, I was so out there with this baby and what was going on with it was just elating that I didn't even feel the, I disassociated from my body and have been until I came back and went, oh my God, I can't walk. You know, and that's when Ashley wanted to connect with me and talk to me and help me, and I didn't want any help. I wanted to center myself, and so she called Michael on the phone. is what happened. And she said, please call Mom, see what's going on with Mom. I can't get her on the phone. And that's when Michael said what he did. He didn't know what I was doing or why, but he was exactly right because we're that connected. And that brings us to spiritual connection. You know, the topic for the evening. How do you get that spiritual connection? Michael, what do you see on how we can offer that understanding to the active listening audience that has never had that connection with other people? How do they know that they're awake? How do they know that they're connecting with someone? And how do you pull a loved one towards your heart more clearly instead of the friction that's out there?
Oh, man. Funny you should ask. I'm good in this field.
You're good in every field, Mom.
I am, because I have all different guys, and right now Dr. Fibbs wants to step in.
Now, today you called me on the phone and says, I don't want to be a doctor anymore.
I had to get rid of the doctor. I said, look, dude, please. But now he wants to jump in and take the show. So, but anyway, we're going to think in terms of, number one, you become what you dwell on. And number two, you manifest your reality a nanosecond at a time with everything that you think, say, think, and do.
Think, say, feel, and do.
Right. So we need to remember this. Now, I have a theory and a technique that is very layman and very easy to absorb. And you don't need a crystal ball and candles. And you're going to say, wow, I never thought about that. But this comes from my guys. The internet was created to prepare more souls for the transition. And we are actually learning and being trained how to act after we drop our physical bodies. And it's going to appear very much like the internet. And it's going to be thought and symbolism, imagery, and graphics, and no time, no boundaries, no space. And we're being prepared for a mass exorcist, which, well, let's not go there. Let's keep it happy. So anyway, think in terms of energy and the internet, uploading, downloading, oh, God, there's so many different things. Going from one chat room to another, all you got to do is click on somebody and you're talking to them. Twinkling of the eye. Incorporate that into your thinking because it'll get a little bit easier to develop these skills. Okay? And then there's the grand old, the word, oh, I meditate, but I don't meditate. So meditation and visualization becomes the grandest scheme of being able to connect spiritually, telepathically, empathically, and on the astral plane. So you just don't get a book on astral travel, sit down, read it, and then start practicing. I wouldn't recommend that. I would get a book on meditation, master my chakras and understand them and interact with them and play with astral travel. So these are the things that you need to do or would like to do, or if you're interested, the areas that you need to focus on if you want to incorporate your energy field, your spiritual field, even your mental and emotional. So those are the big proponents of spiritual connection.
I'm sorry, Michael, I thought you were finished.
I'm sorry, but we do have to work with it a little bit and allow it, so. But that's all I was going to. I was going to end it with that, Tassie. What were you going to?
Yeah, I was telling you at the end. I was going to say, you know, this world, this Earth, is like like a mother womb. You know, we call it Mother Earth, and we're in the womb. And how we are in the womb is how we're going to be, or where we're going to be on the other side, where we awaken to what our beliefs are. If you know, I want to go to heaven, and I'm trying to be as truthful and walk that walk and talk that talk and be as humbled as I possibly can. And also, you know, put out there the immense love, unconditional love. Now, I'm human, and I will blow a gasket over one little picky thing that, you know, but it's something that, like I do, I've told you guys many times, I pick up a rock, and I get in my rocking chair, which virtually gets me nowhere, worries like a rocking chair. And I hold that rock, and I look inside of myself of why that person or that place or that thing has affected me, because it's something inside of me that is mirroring. And I, if I keep my vessel clean and stay in the moment, then all is well in my world. For me to be able to touch the guys that are listening, you people that are listening, and, you know, the people that write me, and I go into restaurants or wherever I go in Charlotte, and that they know me and sit down for readings, which I don't do very much on air, but, you know, I do so in my community a lot. But it's because of the walk and the talk. It's always as great as I can possibly give it out there. Therefore, I get that respect and that greatness back. And that's when we go to the other side. We will have that blitz of, you know, my mother and father always said you get crowns in heaven. Well, you know, do you want to be a servant to yourself and to the community? Why? So that you can get to that other side and get your glory and your rewards.
Okay. And do you want to advance with your peers?
Mm-hmm.
Because as above, so below. When you get there, or I'm just relaying my own experiences, please. I'm not trying to brainwash anybody or push a belief on anybody, but you'll find that in that realm, you want to stay with your peers, people that are on your level, and move along with them and groups that you're in. And if you don't qualify because of some messes that you left behind, you got to go back. You're getting left behind. You got to go back and either deal with it or detach from it or alter it in some way. Make it.
That's a very good point, Michael. That's a really good point, you know, because people think, why do they have this crap always happening to them, or they call it karma. People misunderstand what karma truly is. Karma is you and I talking right now. Karma is when I'm typing a letter at that moment, typing those words. Karma is instantaneous. But it's actions to reactions. What we so throw out there comes back to us. And like you just said, cleaning up our side of the street, keeping it clean, and, you know, making sure that we have all that debris cleaned up. And what did you say on your show today about forgiveness? That was a really good point on your Transform You. Where you said, no, well, I believe it was today's show.
Yes, it was. It was today's Transform You, which is every Tuesday at 2 p.m. From noon p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And my co-host is Reverend K. Randall May, Ph.D. She's an artist, healer, psychic medium, poet, and resume a mile long.
I'm sorry.
See how fast I'm plugging myself now? I'm getting good at it, huh?
Yeah, but I lost what I was trying to think of about forgiveness.
I didn't. Let me do this. I got this. We were going to go to forgiveness and something that I had touched on that show. And I mentioned that forgiveness was more empowering for the person that was doing the forgiving, and you're actually handing over the pain now to the person that you're forgiving, because you opened up a new realm in their consciousness. Now they know they're forgiven. You're detached and moving forward, and now they got to deal with the humbleness of the situation, and so. Forgiven is that symbol. I mean, you could break it down into that, and it could be very empowering. And also, when we cross into our network, when we go home, I like to call it, we find that some of our worst enemies are our best associates over there. I'll use that word. and that they volunteer to be the bad guy and the fall guy, and because you loved each other. So just like I believe that Lucifer volunteered to be Satan because he was the chosen one. He was the shining light. He was Lucifer. And God's most glorified angel, and he did it out of love. Who would volunteer to be Satan? Come on.
He wanted to be like God, and God said, because of that, you are now to be ruler over the earth.
And I mean, that came later, after he volunteered to be Satan.
I didn't know he volunteered to be Satan. Yeah.
Oh, of course, if God is all-knowing, he knew that there was going to be a Satan, and one of his prized possessions was going to play the role of Satan. God is all-knowing. He knows everything. I believe Lucifer volunteered out of love because of the pain and the misery that would be associated with it. But anyway, we're getting a little deep here. Back to forgiveness, that it's empowering to forgive. And that's what we were talking about on today's show. I'm sorry if I went a little too deep. Sometimes I get a little carried away.
People get things different than others, and that's what it's all about, is sharing what one sees. Now, I would like to say my analogy of Satan is that he wanted to be God. He wanted to be God. He wanted to know as much as God. He wanted to be like God, and God said, therefore, you will be the brightest, beautiful light that there is. But the thing is that we get so confused in the light, pray to the light, that people forget that it's love and light, and they want to say love and light. And we aren't praying but to God, to the Holy Spirit, and we're not praying to Satan, but we're trying to share that love out there. You know, because to me, Satan is the father of lies. He plants seeds in our heads. He gives us cunning, nice, wonderful things, and then he turns around and sucks us in with his deceptions and things like that. And so Satan and God are two different things. Yes, God did create everything in the face of this earth, but I'm not saying that, you know, you're right, I'm right, or whatever, but that's just my analogy of it.
Yeah, well, what I was just trying to say was that he created all the angels, and at one time Lucifer was a Satan, and he needed a fall guy. And it was done out of love, because everything is for love. And hopefully, because what created the fall was envy and pride. Once he was anointed,
he wanted to be the best, he wanted to be the greatest, he wanted to be looked at the most. And
that was a part of the plan, the rebellion. Would you volunteer unless you really loved your boss? I would say, come on, boss.
I don't fear God put him there. You know, he wanted to be as great as he possibly could. He wanted to be as God, he wanted to be like God. And God said, no, I'm a vengeant God, I'm a jealous God, and you are not going to be as powerful as I am. And he made Satan blind, you know, and he gave Satan rule over this earth. And that's how I see it, and that's how I feel about it. You know, I don't see that he chose it, because if he chose it, he chose to be as God, as even as God. And, you know, that...
I went a little too deep because God's all knowing, so he knew how it was going to start and how it was going to end and everything.
But God is not Satan to me, and that's where it's coming.
No, please, God, I'm not putting.
That's the way it's coming across, is that God chose to be this. God chose to be.
No.
Okay, well, I'm just trying to clarify.
Satan was an angel. Where are you getting? I'm saying he's God.
Because you said God is all knowing, and God chose that. before he came, and how would somebody? Anyway, I just get confused on this situation and the subject.
No, Satan is the father of lies,
and he gives us cunning, wonderful things, and then he does deception, and he has chosen. I don't believe he chose to fall. I believe he wanted to be godlike, and that's why he fell.
I went a little bit deeper than I should have. I should have started there where you are.
Okay.
I made the mistake of going a little deeper.
Oh, there are no mistakes, baby doll. It's all lessons of learning. And I had to ask you those things in order for me to understand. You know? So that gets back to spiritual connection. That's a spiritual connection. God and Lucifer had a spiritual connection. And the love that Satan is trying to portray is what I'm trying to understand is that God created all the angels, and there's fallen angels, and then there's forgiveness, you know. But we've got to be very, very careful of the cunningness because Satan will give good, beautiful, wonderful things, and then turn around and plant that seed of deception in a person's head. And that's where I'm going at, because Satan is the father of lies, period, end of sentence. That's just the way it goes. There's black and there's white in the world, and there's a happy medium in there. And what Michael and I want to do is we want to pull the octaves up by one broadcast, one octave higher, and let everyone see that they have a choice that they can make. They have a choice that they can choose to be as good, as great, and truthful as they possibly can. And just walk their walk and talk their talk and be who they are. And that way we will always communicate with the proper channels and not be deceived. Because if we allow one deception seed in there, then it plants seeds into the whole, you know, one rotten apple can mess up a whole barrel, right, Michael?
Definitely could influence it, absolutely. Under the right circumstances, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we're going to talk about, we'll break it down to a level of one-on-one and maybe in a relationship, bonding spiritually, praying together is one that is highly recommended, right?
Right.
Another one is never go to bed angry at each other. That's a big no-no.
Yeah, because it festers through the night like that thing I read about your dreams.
Absolutely.
You know, you'll dream and it'll become your reality the next day, even stronger.
Absolutely, and to have the same beliefs encourages spiritual connection. And a lot of it starts to develop through exposure to each other, telepathically, empathically.
Uh-huh.
You just feel. You can just feel each other, like, you know, like they need you, or they.
And each person has a different energy feel to a person too. You know, yours used to be when you were really strong with wanting to get a point across, and we weren't talking on the phone or whatever. I would feel your energy in a warp, like a warp thing. And then sometimes you come across now, I can just feel this cool breeze just flow over my body. And but then when you really want to tell Tassie, call me, or you can't find me, or you really want to talk to me, I can feel your energy. It's still very cool and calm and loving, but it's in a warp, you know, like a whoop, 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 whoop. It's weird. Everybody, and then my daughter Ashley, she brushes just the side of my cheek. And my son Jason, he goes across my eyes. Everybody has a different energy. You know, it's just like being, you know, reading somebody on the internet versus reading them in public and in person to see their body language. We have to learn the different energy fields out there to know the different energy fields of that particular person and what that energy is portraying to us. To us, not to us. I picked up a northern. Did you hear that?
Oh, God.
To us.
You're starting to sound like a New Yorker.
That was fun.
Say,
Twist.
forget.
Where did that
Forget.
come from? Oh my
Forget
God.
about it. Hey, say, forget about it.
What is it that Don said that you say really neat? You. What was it just a minute ago? Yes. Yes.
Listen, I have a way that lovers could kind of maybe bond with each other, I would say.
Well, let's share it.
Using energy, I can run through it real quick. It might help people out there that are already understanding chakras and visualization and chi and moving energy. And for the layman, listen to the archives over and over until you get the hang of it. Want me to just jump right into it, Tansy? I'll run through it real quick.
Yeah. I love to listen to you share things like that. It's okay. So intriguing.
Okay. Well, I would start with my romance. Say your romantic partner and you're trying to spice up your sex life. We'll go right there with it. And so you and your partner will all set your intentions for a certain peaceful, quiet time. And you sanctify the area. Candles, ambiance, atmosphere, incense.
Even a tent.
even a tent, pink candles. Cinnamon gets me aroused. I don't know why, but anyway, use all the tricks of the trade: crystals, aromatherapy, candles, and everything. And then you'll both start off meditating. And then when you get to that meditative place, I would start off straddling each other. Face each other and get as close as you can.
Or even Indian style, knee to knee.
Yeah, knee to knee. And if you're very thin and young, and if you want to cross your legs, that would be, leave enough for a spark between you. Okay? And now we want to take our thoughts. We're already for the advance. We're already in that place and visualizing an energy ball. And we're going to bring it down to our root chakras. And you're going to project your root chakra energy into hers, and she's going to...
Well, for those that don't know what a root chakra is, do you want to explain where a root chakra is?
Okay. A root chakra is your last chakra. It's the first chakra. It's between your legs at the end of your spine.
Okay.
And it's the color red. So you want to visualize it being red and hot. And you want to breathe your golden light, chi, prana, whatever you want to call it, into it, and then into her root chakra, and she'll be doing the same to you. And you'll move up the chakra system in order. The orange chakra, the second orange chakra,
the
yellow chakra.
Which is the navel, right?
Which is the navel area, yeah, and it's the color orange, and you interact your energies, and then you bring it up to your solar plexus, that's yellow, and you interact your chakras that way. And remember, you're breathing, so your breathing is always the color of the chakra you're working on, and it's interactive in the experience. So your breathing is the energy that's actually flowing into your partner chakra. So then you go to the heart chakra, and then to the throat chakra, and then to the third eye, and then to the crown. And once you get to the crown, the two of you will blow out your love for each other out through your crown chakra and let it flow down around you. And stay in the moment for a while, just intertwined through your chakras and the energy rising and coming out of the top of your head and flowing down over top of you. Okay, and I guess this is a late night show, so from there, you can go a step further if that's what the intentions are.
But you know what's great, Michael, is to run your hands up and down each other's body without touching them, but just that little spark between, you know, while you're doing that.
That's another technique.
Mm-hmm. But while you're breathing and doing all of that, it's, I bet you if you put your hands, you know, up and down, like hand to hand and around the face.
In the beginning with laypersons, I would recommend just being in the moment and using breath and interacting chakras. And once you get used to the process and you do it more often, then I would experiment with the hands. Or when you're done with the chakra, then go into massage with the hands because you're going to be supercharged. You're going to feel it. So your hands are going to be filled with energy, and you can take all of that energy and focus it into your hands by breathing. So you'll gather it by inhaling and project it by visualization through your hands, because we have minor chakras on the bottom of our feet, our palms of our hands.
Yeah, why do we not use our feet chakras? What is that, the grounding, the root chakra? How come we don't start? Yeah, if we're doing starting at the between our legs chakra,
right?
But why do we not use our feet? Because we're not standing on them, or
you could incorporate feet depending on your advanced knowledge of meditation.
Okay.
I'm giving a traditional exercise that's tried and true.
I was just kind of wondering that.
Yeah, and people have a hard time just with the seven major chakras.
Well, I thought... So you mean the feet chakra are not one of the seven majors? I don't really know my chakras. I know my chakras.
No.
But I don't know the majors.
No. Well, all chakras are major, but they're minor chakras compared to the seven going up and down the spine.
Mm. Okay.
Because your kundalini resides in your root chakra. And being able to raise that energy and have it flow down over the outside of you and your lover, it's very powerful.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, and then your palms and your hands obviously would be the next major chakras, and then your fingertips and your eyes, and so on and so forth, you know?
Michael, is there like, I've heard somebody say there's like 44 chakras in the body. Is that true?
I wouldn't doubt it, Tassie, to be totally honest with you. I would believe it.
I guess it's almost like a... you know, like pressure points in the body, when you do, but also when you do, there's many places that are G-spots in the body, so that could tell you the same thing with chakras, right? I'm not sure, I'm just asking you, because I'm not sure.
Actually, if you want to really get technical, there's as many chakras as there are pressure points or meridians.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to get right down to the basis of it, that's how many chakras are.
Well, tell me while we're on this, because I'm wondering. I've heard that the body, your legs have a certain G spot. There's all kinds of G spots all over your body that a person can touch to arouse.
Yeah, and there is a lot of massage therapy out there that deals with that.
Oh, really?
Reiki.
I know when I do a massage to somebody, I scan them with the outside of my hand without touching their body, and that energy pulls to me where their knots are, and then I'll zoom in on that particular spot. But that's why I was wondering if also arousal spots moved around like that, or do they stay in the same spot?
Oh, absolutely.
Mm.
It's just like acupressure. what you're doing is you're manipulating a chakra, allowing energy to flow and to stimulate it. To help create pain if needed, painkiller, natural painkiller.
So, in other words, it moves with whatever the person is that day. And the person, you know, what I'm trying to understand is I've only heard this, that the like the movement of, say, a tight muscle or a tight knot, that G-spot, which is an arousal spot, moves around. You have several in your body, but they can be at different places at different times. We have to be so in tune to our partner to know where to touch them or move with them. By doing the blowing method with the chakras, like moving up the Kunda Kinte, like I said, if we do that, then we will be in so in tune with one another, we'll know exactly where to zoom in on the other person to have a feel good. Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to do it in other words from what I try to hear you say to comprehend, because this is, I mean, it's good stuff to know.
It is. It is good stuff to know.
Yeah.
And it is. Like me and you, I feel you. Your energy comes to me through the top of my head. It falls into me.
Wow.
And all of you. Your
energy goes directly to my heart.
To your heart.
And then, expands outward like blood.
Okay, so that's an example of telepathic chakra connection and interaction.
When you and I quit talking 6 years ago, Ashley, my daughter, actually saw my crown chakra turn into a scab and heal over, because we had shut off that connection for a while because we were teachers teaching us, you know, back in the day. But my daughter saw right at the baby soft spot, she saw the scab where we had sealed off because we needed to break that connection, to get further into, because we were inside something so deep that we had with teaching that we pulled out and we learned to telepath each other, you know. That's what I...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And remember, folks, the listening audience, Tassie is very well rounded in metaphysics and education and beyond. She is genius, and I've been around. We figured what, Tassie, the other day,
52 years.
52 years. I've been working
in this business since you were a young child and would read for your family without them understanding what you were doing.
Yeah, Tassie, honestly.
And you don't just evolve into people can read people, don't get me wrong, but in order to work it properly, like Michael does, he always prepares for a client, and he does a ritual for the client before and brings the energy and opens the channel. And if a person's late or if a person cancels or whatever, Michael has to shut that down. He has to reopen it and get prepared a good 10, 15 minutes prior to. He doesn't just read somebody. And that's what I believe agitates Michael and I, because people just get out there and start spitting out what people want to hear or what they, you know, and call themselves a reader. When we have worked this, we'll walk this walk for 52 years, minus 51 years. Michael's is 52. I'm 55, he's 54, so he's been in it a little longer than me, at a little younger age than I have. But, it's a lot of work, and we have to stay on that path every day and night. It's not something you just, Michael calls it playing books when he doesn't want to, he doesn't feel the compelling feeling of reading a person because he wants to give them the best accurate reading that he possibly can. And I just wanted to clarify that, because it's not a game out there to just be a reader or just to be gifted. And it's very reverent and to connect somebody's energy as well as cleansing after a reading. Michael also does. Now, I do deep root readings that take several days.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I'm in it. Sometimes I don't even go to bed. You know, working, even that person that I'm reading has gone to bed, gone to sleep, and I'm still working it, you know, still in the connection. And we use a lot of symbols and a lot of metaphors such as that. Michael, we're at the top of the hour. Believe it or not.
Let me put my phone number out real quick.
Well, yeah. All of it.
Okay. If you're interested in a private session with me, it's 518-249-3995. And I'm very reasonable. And I have blog talk shows every Tuesday and Wednesday. And Tassie and I have a blog talk show at her blog talk radio station,
which is called Bridge and Wisdom.
Which is called Bridge and Wisdom. And I want to thank BBS. Oh. Let's thank BBS, Don and Doug Newsom. They're geniuses. And I guess we'll always call BBS home, huh, baby?
I think so, darling. I mean, it is. It's where it all started, and it is the most profound radio station on the planet that is in the internet. They reach over 190 countries and up to 18 million listeners at a given time. I mean, it's big. BBS Radio is not only just growing, but it's the love that they have and the unconditional love and understanding and the beauty of caring about each person and giving them a chance to get out there and get their message across. So with that given, Michael, it's been a delightful, I just can't get enough of you. I'm sure we'll talk another 2 or 3 hours after we get off air.
Good night, all.
Good night, everybody.
Dwell on peace.
Yes, and we'll see you next week. Or we'll see you out there. God bless. Bye-bye.